if somebody, this cell phone out of the desk, is a associate professor of, University of Tennessee. The, why do you want a moderator? Well, this is a. Yes?
Make sure that nobody goes on inappropriate messages and so they stay outside.
Is it allowed?
Make sure nobody, goes on inappropriate messages, just make sure that everything's on.
Okay, that's good, one good reason. Yes?
Make sure things are relevant to the.
Topic?
Topic, exactly.
Okay. Any other ideas? What's the most, concern of a public business? Yeah. If you don't control, you got a pull out of spam and, spam is a big problem. Let me show you something. That spam actually can destroy the community, you know, who are just tired of doing those spam. This is the Prodigy course discussing this. Again. These are pretty nicely organized. They are spread. And everybody, let's say they are real people, right? You can identify them who they are. The moderator, professor. And they talk about a real issue. There's no scam here, sorry. Looks like a public email, right? Okay. Well, nice. The synchronous remote, well, instant messenger, AOL, instant messenger, Windows Live. It also does the work together with audio and video. We'll do some demonstration if you can figure the data correctly after break. We want to show you the whiteboard, sharing whiteboard between two persons so that you can editing something together or share the application once connected between the two machines using MSN. I can send you a Word file for my web page and you can work on that. You can edit that. And I get the, both of us get the updated version. And I don't have to show you chat rooms, right? You know that. This is actually the process of using Windows Live Messenger to share a whiteboard. It starts from the connection, then start an activity. Then we have a way to share the whiteboard or share the application. Share an application. And this is the whiteboard. Once the connection is successful. And both of us can write something on this whiteboard or draw something on this board. And if you want to share an application like Microsoft Word, PowerPoint, webpage, PDF file, this is the way to share the application file. If we don't have this tool, then if you want to talk about your project, talk about your final report, you know, let's call somebody and say, okay, take a 3-10, take a paragraph, line 2, I don't know about that. Okay. That's another way. Then if you have a way to hear the application, then I just bring out this PDF file or Word file, then I just go there and just send that line. Then I want to change that and just change that instantly, then you will see the result. So that's the goodness of this application. And we can also share your desktop. Right, if I'm willing to. Let's say, look at my desktop. You can grab my desktop, right, and click into it and get anything you like. It's not the action, right? It's not allow you to get my stuff. And I have control over here or on here, right? But if we do something I don't like, I just say it on here. And the other side is, the other side I want to control my site. I have the right to accept or reject. So we'll see whether we can get this up and set this up after the break. We captured using wired internet connection, if it was okay. We captured it with wired connection, it did not work. So, probably there was some routing problem. We couldn't get out. It's pretty easy to use. We have a tutorial. It's called an old version, current version 7. 7 version 7. It's a tutorial for version 5, but okay, the process is okay. And we have another more comprehensive tutorial for CMP, if you're interested in. So, another way to do this is to use the Google Docs. Right now. As in my does anybody have a Google account?
I've got one
over here. Very convenient. Google Docs. Somebody. Okay, good. We have a few sessions after break. Upload a file and share it with me.
Sure.
My account is this. Upload a document and share with me. And we can do collaborative editing instantly. And we can do collaborative editing among a group of people.
You should have my notes from last week.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Just as far as notes, then I can add it here. This can be used to laboratory edit a web page. Yes.
I probably used this once before, but I got confused over, let's say you collaboratively edit a Word document, and then you want to print it because you've worked on it, you want to, you know. I think I know there's a way to do that in Word, but in PowerPoint, we can never get it off. So if you have a PowerPoint presentation, you collaboratively edit it, it's stuck on there.
What about a PowerPoint? You can add your web page here and say, I don't like this layout. I want to change that. And or we can collaboratively change that. You can do it this way. Now you don't have to say come to meet on campus or somewhere, then sit down and change it, right? The meeting time is precious.
Very practical, I don't think.
like, take it off.
Okay, you have a problem here. And say that to you, look at that.
Right, we take the functionality away. Why is that?
Yeah, there's a reason. Well, we can complain. Yeah, but it's okay to export your HTML file, right? HTML is a text file. And it can be saved as text, right? Okay. Yeah, I've not explored that question, that problem before. Okay, that's the demonstration. I'm not familiar with this here. Probably this is out of order, right? He made it this way. I couldn't get the consent. because I don't see an immediate. Probably we can have him next time. Then inside the domain of computer-aided communication, we want to use that tool to do some work, right? To do some professional work. And we have to understand the nature of the DSCW. Of course, we have to make sense of the work. And the work, that's a process, right? Just like we do digital reference service process. Somebody, the customer, client, the user asks a question. Then we do reference interview, say what we want, or you give the question out of here. Then the user answer the question asked by the library. And the library goes somewhere to look for the answer. And respond back. Then the user say, okay, this is not what I want. Then you do the second round. So it's a good process here. And it's a cooperative process, right? At least it has to be done between the user and the librarian. So they have a shared goal and shared task. We have multiple ways to support such a task, and computing is just the wrong way, right? I think in earlier days, reference can be done by telephone, right? Somebody asks a question and answers a question by the phone. We have a group where systems it's a covering term of some CMC applications. It's like email or text chat or wiki. Yeah, we are talking about it CMCW for work. There are CMC for other purposes, like social networking or online dating. So just like you like to make friends, right? Other purpose. The second feature of this is the collaboration. And he's missing here. So that's a good way. Issues is they share the information space. You have to coordinate their process, who do what, at what time. If a user issued a question and the reference service say, I was going to be a week later. Well, that's not quite a coordination, right? Because the user needs to get an answer as soon as possible. And a week later, it's not like a poor coordination part. Concurrency control is important in digital reference. So it's the sequence in the chat. Based on chat, reference is based on chat. And when the librarian got the question, then the librarian would say, well, wait a minute, I go to search my database, then the client needs to wait, right? Then if the client is leaving the conversation, he needs to tell that I'm leaving for a while. Mm-hmm. user interface. If we have a library serving multiple users, then we hope the software can support that. They have a screen here for this user, that user, right? I'm chatting with multiple persons who have a multiple interface. And if people are using different chat tools, software like AOL, Instant Messenger, or Windows Live Messenger, they have different environments. And the chat service at the login side needs to have a very comprehensive support of the separate units environment. So, okay, let's take 10 minutes break. I set up the Windows Messenger board.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's about staying volume.
Yeah.
the day. Let me tell you a little bit about what we're doing here.
This is Windows Live Messenger. Yeah, June has probably talked with you about it already. I'm in Tampa, Florida, where I'm attending a meeting that ended about 10 minutes ago, so this is actually pretty good timing. I'm on my laptop, the same laptop that you've seen me use in the past. I've got these little headsets on just so that everybody doesn't have to listen to what we're talking about. And I'm just using the microphone and the laptop here. The video, as you can see, is relatively good quality in both directions. So I can see you be here like this, and so it's quite the sense of being there. Of course, it helps that I've already met you, and it helps that I know the layout of the room. It helps that I know things like when the break is and how long it is. So things like this tend to work better when people have met before at least once. Forming relationships through computer-mediated communication is much harder than using the relationships you've already formed and deepening, enriching them, or applying them to a specific purpose. So these can be very good for ongoing relationships. But as you probably have found when you work by email with people, it can be difficult to get started just because of getting the shared conditions right. The reason why we wanted to do this today was to demonstrate two things. One is that this technology is available. It works. You'll see in a moment that the latencies are low enough that we get reasonable two-way communication. On the other hand, you also seen today how hard it is to get this to work. Not nearly less than even up your email. And in fact, we have some features that we were able to practice over the weekend that don't work from here because of a particular way that the routers are configured on this end. So it would have been nice if we could demonstrate the shared whiteboard and the application sharing, but Jun will talk with you about that either earlier or later in the class using slides and perhaps in the class demo if the network there will support it. As a demonstration of what we can do, let me use this moment to take a couple of questions. The microphone is located in the camera, so those of you who are closer to the camera will have an easier time being heard by you. But why don't somebody go ahead and ask a question, and we'll see what we can do.
The weather
looks good. We have a cold front move through, and if it gets bad weather, it tends to be bad pretty much everywhere at the same time. So I'm guessing that the last couple of days we probably had some rain up there as well, but we had some thunderstorms settle directly over us yesterday. This morning it was lovely at sunrise, one of the real pleasures of coming to these meetings is we get to see the sunrise after they start the meetings to start early. Another question.
What kind of meeting is it?
So what we're doing, this is a group that's funded by the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. And what we do is we get together typically once or twice a year. People from all over the world. So we've had people fly in from Hong Kong, from Germany, from the United Kingdom, and also, of course, from all over the U.S., including I think six of us here from the University of Ireland. So we do development of technology that makes it possible to understand what people are saying in languages other than English. As you might imagine, the main application languages that are being developed are Arabic and Chinese. We build systems that convert speech in those languages into text, and then convert the text in those languages into text in English, and then index that text so that it can be searched. And I'll demonstrate for you in a week or two, when we do cross-language information retrieval, how the systems work. You'll see how both how well they work, and you'll also see the problems. When we do systems that have deficiencies, then there are two ways that we can overcome them. We can either build better systems, that's what engineers do, or we can learn to adapt our behavior to the systems that aren't as good. For example, when the West Virginia engine first came out, it was widely believed by librarians that this was not as good a way to index important materials, to use the term-based searching, what we now call rank retrieval, as the carefully controlled techniques that we use in library cataloging. Of course, it turned out to be much more scalable, and so the weaker search technique needed to be learned, the ways of using it needed to be learned, because there was no way to improve the technology so that it was as good as what was done in library catalogs. And so that's a case in which the users adapted to imperfect technology in order to achieve an objective that couldn't be achieved any other way. So indeed, last year, we had a set of students, library school students, MLS students, and also MIM students, and also some of our graduates, one of our graduates from Library Congress, and a PhD student in history, who would get together every week or two and use the system that I'll show you, and we studied how they used it, and how the characteristics of the system forced them to adapt to their behavior. These were relatively skilled searchers, and so that gave us really our first look at how advanced systems like this could be used. One of the unique capabilities that we bring to a project like this, this is mostly a project full of engineers, as you expect, but one of the unique capabilities that we bring is this ability to focus on the usability. And so that's one of the things that we've been discussing here today, is how and when in the program it makes sense to invest in measuring usability. Any other questions?
You mentioned on the slides as an example of synchronous local CMC, the Teaching Theater Student Tools. What are they?
Okay, so if you go on the either the left side or the right side of your screen, you'll see a set of student tools. And in those student tools, you'll see a feedback meter or something like that.
Okay.
There's also an instructor tool. That Yejun can bring up if he's logged in as an instructor, that will allow him to set up a display for the feedback that you provide. Now, I'm doing this from memory because it's been a couple of years since I've used it. Are those tools indeed there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So what you can, essentially it's an I got it or I'm confused button that you have on your end, and then there's a red-green bar that shows up on Yejun's end, which he can project. I found that I personally don't care for this tool because, in the first place, I can tell when you've got it by looking at you. You can make a face when you're confused. And in the second place, once you put up a tool like this, the students tend to remain at the class trying to drive the bar off and then drive the bar down. And they have a lot of fun with it. So I think a tool like that is very useful for distance education if you are synchronous remote. But it's provided for use in synchronous social. Some students don't like to speak up in class, so there's, as much as others do, as you might notice throughout your academic career. And so there's also a tool that allows the instructor to set up a chat. And in that chat, you can have people who speak anonymously. And that gives voice to different groups of students. Of course, it's probably also true that some students don't like to type their comments in. And some students perhaps don't even want to be anonymous. And so different students are advantaged by different kinds of tools. And I found that it's useful, for example, when collecting feedback at mid-semester to have a synchronous local chat in which I can pose questions, people can comment anonymously, and I can react to the comments and pose new questions to help me sort of tune up my teaching when I'm doing a class for the first time. Maybe at the end of today's class, you can help Yejun out by using this tool. And getting him a few comments on his teaching. Okay, So you shouldn't have the class going so far. Is this the most fun group you've ever worked with?
Not yet.
Okay, well, I do want you to know that I'm going to ask you that question again tomorrow when we meet with your class.
Yeah, we just demonstrated Google Docs. The problem with the Google Docs is that if we collaboratively edit a PPT file, it cannot be exported. It can be presented, but it cannot be exported, so we cannot save it.
Yes, I find that's inconvenient when working with things like Google Docs. They take things in much more easily than they export things back out. You'll find that's not limited to just the PowerPoint. It's a whole lot easier to get things imported to specialized tools like this. That's why the capabilities of NetMeeting to do shared applications can be particularly powerful. And for example, in virtual reference, if you have the ability to essentially take over someone's browser, demonstrate to them how to do something, and then let them do it while you watch, and then step back in to point out something that they may not have noticed, you can accomplish things with general purpose tools that it would be harder to do with specialized software because they wouldn't necessarily have specialized software. And as you saw when you were practicing over the weekend, we can edit them in any system. So we could have run a PowerPoint and we're using an ordinary word processor, similar to Microsoft Word at the time. Okay, well, don't let me take up the entire class. I don't want to keep you from having the in-person experience since you all come in person. I just wanted to take this opportunity to sort of eat our own dog food and use the technology that we're talking about. So have a good time, I'll see you in a week.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you. Okay, that's the usual problem. Who hangs up first?
If you are really interested in sharing application and platform on yourself, you can try out the app class. So the general process is that you take the action and start an activity then you can see a whiteboard. Application. See, the whiteboard is pretty easy. Just to bring this about the whiteboard, you can draw and write anything on that. It's good for discussion. And sharing an application is good for sharing for a collaborative editing. You can see what's my custom Word file, PDF file, you can go into a sentence and talk about that, or you can share HTML file, a web page, or a text version of the web page, and you can do collaborative editing. And we have a tutorial for that. Okay. Now we talk about the virtual reference. This is the Marin, the University of Marin, as just now. So, a lot of libraries participated in this digital reference service. I just took a randomly one. It's a 24/7 online interactive service. It's capped. Then before going to a chat session, you write your name, email address, you write your question here. Then you check out the library. Whether you have high-speed connection or dial connection, because that's the constraints of the type of files librarians can send you, right? Because if I want to share a multimedia application work, even if you don't have high-speed internet connection, then the user will have a problem. That the starting of digital reference. Then when we are designing a digital reference service, we have to think about it as a part of a function. But it's a process, each process that is own function we need to support. And we have to think about it as a system architecture, how we support this process, and if we design that way, whether the user will be able to adopt our system or the process. So we have several problems that we have not solved yet in current digital reference service. One is the language problem. Say our users are Vietnamese or Korean. They send a message to their local library, and they we want to search English collection. Then the question is sent over to a particular library, like the bunch of libraries on the Maryland access now. And the question is brought over to you, right? How would you do that? Then when we got an answer, if it's written in English, then you want to send it back to the customer. How would you deal with that? You need an interpreter, like the 911 call. I'm a Vietnamese, emergency, then you have to find an interpreter, right? Which person is happening, right? Then the interpreter will tell the story. That's one problem. Second problem. The routing of the action. If the user asks the very copied action to two types of action, one is highly professional, in the law domain, medical domain, science and technology domain, and the general librarian cannot answer at all, then the library has to find out an expert in that domain, and send a question to that expert. Second problem, if the question is very complicated, it has a multi question, right? It has multiple parts, and you have to get an answer to each sub-question and input that and send it back to the user. Well, if each sub-question is quite professional, right? It has a financial part, science technology part, medical part, how would you deal with this case? How do you find the expertise? How do you integrate that? So that's the problem of the collaborative response, right? You have integrated answer to multiple sub-questions. Then you have a low technology requirement. Before I send you a document to read, I have to confirm about the technology side, the technology at the user side. User does not have the software for, say, playing my multimedia document. The user does not know much about the technology, and you have to teach the user. Load balance is a problem. If you get three questions a day, or 30 questions a day, it's fine, right? You can probably deal with that. So if you got 2,000 questions a day, right? You are a pupil of the library, and everybody trusts you, so everybody sends you a question, then you got a whole lot of questions to deal with, okay? You got a load problem. Then, at this point in time, we don't have many librarians sitting in front of computers because people are in their homes. So which part of the world can deal with the reference question? They are, 8 a.m. in the morning, probably they can deal with that, right? So you probably want to find out the other librarians who are working right now and send a question to them. So if you set a lower barrier to problems, then transaction tracking. Say you send a question to librarian A again, and then a question to librarian B, right? You have to keep track of those questions. Who is answering what at what time? I'm expecting she's going to answer it. And especially for that complex question, which has multiple sub-questions, you particularly want to keep track of those sub-questions, right? So you have to finally integrate that, get an answer to use it. So we have other questions, two problems. So we have spent 10 minutes. Let's break into our group and take 10 minutes to take one question and think about how will you deal with that specific problem. What's the technical solution you can provide? We don't have existing technology to support, to solve this problem, and what kind of innovative, fancy ideas you can get. Design a reference service to solve one of these problems.
All right.
Okay.
You're going to do library mind on the group.
I find out librarian's expertise, right?
And you're the expert assistant.
Yeah, good idea. What were you looking at?
We were looking at the transaction tracking.
Okay.
So we were saying that if there were all text, you know, text traced, it'd be pretty easy. It'd be kind of like saving a chat, and it'd be easy to monitor. But if it's word based, we could look for certain keywords. We could have a program that records certain keywords, and the library knew what those keywords were. You could say them, and system would be able to track it more easily. And then you could also have like a rating system, so you could see if the librarian was good at helping you solve your problem or not. And that way people would know if the librarian had to speak to or not.
Okay. So you are doing a transaction management to keep track of all that.
That makes it sound a little bit better than what we're
doing. Pretty ambitious. Yeah. What were you looking at?
We were looking at collaborative response and thought if there was a way to do subject specialist chat rooms or maybe matching like a general reference with a subject specialist and then trying to figure out how you route them with the user. Use like a subject heading menu to get the area they needed, or when they go to general chat room first, that you grab a specific specialist that have a team of people to work in one place.
Okay. So you needed a bit of a secret.
Yes.
Before you know, yes, you can't work. Okay, you guys work hard. What are you looking at?
Yes, and then they focus on the transaction tracking,
Okay.
Multiple librarians are answering the same question. One thing they could do is each librarian could have, if they're a different color or to make it different somehow, so you do it for a different person. And also, if they're to supply the user with the text of, they can see what happens when and time connects with.
Okay.
You could also be send a transcript. Knowing when you had contacted a certain librarian or information service, the people that you're contacting for information services, they might be in a certain collaboration with just a chunk of groups, and they might let you know beforehand that these are the groups that we would contact information services to respond to.
So you are creating a database or a system of transactions, chats, emails, response, right?
Should be. We were just thinking of a wide variety.
What do you like?
I think you're gonna route some people over to them.
Okay. What about you, the count?
We were on the transaction tracking.
Okay.
Or we could do it the way that customer service centers do, like call centers, and that it automatically at random record the full session and it's reviewed by someone else, where they refer to, what was the follow up, they make any mistakes, that kind of thing.
Okay. What were you looking at?
One of them is language.
Oh, great.
You're thinking that, one could be like having an automatic babblefish sort of translator included in it, but we realized that doesn't really work because if you put a phrase in the babblefish, it comes out something totally different. So we thought of maybe partnering with other university systems in other countries. So if you've got like a partner school in Spain and you have a Spanish speaking person who likes you, you can route it to the librarian over there, or take a lot of collaboration that you can do with pretty much every country in the world.
You're going to do the international library expertise. Yeah, that's a good idea. What were you looking
at? We looked at language also, more instead of in more technology-driven applications on the front end,
Okay, how do you like?
It sounds great, sounds like what our board is working on right now. I think we were going to hire him.
Yeah, I guess the two sessions after that, after this, we'll have a session on information retrieval system. And he was talking about that issue, information retrieval system. And the cross language retrieval is a research problem.
Another idea. We were talking about both language and load balancing and getting kind of a consortium of international groups together.
Good idea.
And, you know, you could have a technology-driven thing that looks at a question and says, that looks like Swedish, and directs it to Sweden. Or you could have a person that says, that looks like Swedish, and directs it to Sweden.
Excellent. We actually have software called a language ID. The software can detect by looking at the words, some words, and tell whether this is the Swedish or the French, and rather that question to your expert system.
Right.
Yeah. So.
We looked at load balance, just mainly in terms of getting too many questions that I'm looking back and handle, and just this. Really, one thing we can think of is that simple, like automatic response of we're busy, your questions are important to us. If you don't need immediate assistance through chat, if you're emailing us or calling us by phone, otherwise, we are with somebody else. So at least they know they've got some kind of response to somebody who's hearing it, so the question is sitting out there, but if they're looking at it.
Okay. But the loading, the load balancing problem has not been solved yet. You give anybody an initial response if somebody is looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
And you need a way to route the questions to somebody else. Right? So you need to take a look at what the other people are looking at, what their available time, and what are their expertise. Right? So this is a kind of the complicated problem. Language is another problem that can work with the loading and collaborative response. I said these four questions or five questions can be from the same type of question, right? If you want to route a question to somebody in another country, then you have a language problem, you have a load balance problem, you have a transaction tracking problem. Yeah. Okay, 5 minutes to break, then we'll talk about the online community.
I'm going to
think it looks fine.
Yeah.
Try to talk to you now. And, you know, again, Dr. O'Keefe worked on that problem for a long time, maybe more than 10 years. So, see what I'll work about that. And I put through and looked, read several chapters. And we'll give you a very rough presentation on this topic. So, online community is just a collection of people that communicate online. It's just a covering definition. And it's related to CMC. So, we have several more things in online community than CMC. In the end, we did not talk about the policy purpose, right? So online community basically is people online, then the people here and the purpose. Their goal, their need, they go to the community for their need, right? They have a path, their need, their interest. Then for the community to survive or to thrive, then we have to have a set of policies, right? Assumption and what the behavior is allowed, what the not allowed, then as we are communicating with the people that we know or we don't know, and all the social rules apply. Right? Cannot say I grab somebody's book and electronic book and publish it. Put on the online community of the TV, but if the community is small enough, probably people are doing this kind of thing and it's okay. So we have more stuff in the online community topic. Then we have a lot of content on the web that are created by users. Oh, sorry. Wrong machine. Okay. So you are the person of 2006. You are the hero. So people create videos, what you see here, create wikis, content, create the agents are actually contributing their experience and their symptoms and their treat experience, and they are supporting themselves. People are considering experience and knowledge among their using online community. And, well, I'm using the wrong machine. Technologies that support online community apps. Probably you are familiar with a lot of these things. Networks, open source software. Open source software are not created by proprietary software companies like Microsoft or Yahoo or Google. They're created by users like my blog, Search Engine. To be by sharing, to be e-commerce, podcasts, pushing, tagging, a lot of things, huh? We have these companies working on this. So we
we have so many individuals in our audience that support our community. And social network is I think it's a broader term than online community. They basically mean, social network means the content created by users. So, like blogging, photo sharing, tagging, social networking. Online community is sometimes they create content that are not available online or on the web, like chat or instant messenger. So this concept is intersected with the online community. They do not belong to each other. It's a cool term right now. Jennifer Gobert studied this problem. And he created an incomplete list of social network applications. Most of them are dating sites, so probably for marketing purposes. Yeah, people on the front end. Yes. Opinions, e-opinions, you can express opinions to the product. So some of these communities are very loosely defined, right? People come and go and probably don't have a very clear policy of joining and leaving. The social network, I think, is broader than online communities. So in online community, we care about the people, right? And the people in this community have a role. Just like in people's physical life, people have a role, right? As a father, as a mother, a daughter, or as a librarian, or as a client, or as an opinion holder, right? They have a role in this community. The people's roles, identifying people's roots and understanding their behavior is crucial for the survival and the development of our community. Lurkers are the most unknown world. It is hard to study. It's easy to find dominators, like some of you always ask questions and answer somebody's other people's questions, and somebody, you know, provoke, and they are identifiable, and so they are reachable, right? Like you ask them why you ask the question, what's in your mind, right? Look at such people to study, right? You just sit there and we observe, you don't ask questions, you don't answer questions. Well, it's hard to understand, right? Whether the person is sleeping or don't care much about, or maybe understand at all, or maybe a expert about it, right? So it's disputable whether locals are part of the community or not. It's hard to say. But we know that dominators and linkers are important for our community. So there are the four attributes of an online community. So basically people share the goals before joining the community, right? They have their interest and needs.
So based on their need, any constituent is kind of needed. So for educational purpose, you join the professor's group, developer group. For Wiki, then you can contribute your ideas by providing a bibliography. Or you count on the reading professor provided, because you have an interest, and the group of people have the same interest. Then people engaging in repeated active participation, that's a brief opinion. I don't know whether active participation is needed for such people. They don't invite the participation, right? And probably locals are still important for communities. And as the members have access to the same set of resources, and we have policies of sharing resources, right? Say we have a group at a state of the student, and we typically share in somebody's reading, right? I have a PDF file, and I load it, and say, this is not going to be on the field. Don't post it anywhere else. And we have a journal, somebody is a member of the Journal of American Cases, American Information Science and Technology, and he has an account, and sometimes I need to access some documents from the journal, and we fix the share that account, right? So, but just attach to the policy that the account is not supposed to be shared by anybody else. And the state property of information or support is expected, right? I contributed to the community, and I expect that somebody else will contribute to the community. So there are contributors and advisors in the reciprocal process. And we have a shared contact knowledge, language, protocols. Especially for the international community, right? We have a concern of the language. So when we are designing an online community, we care about two big issues. One is accessibility and usability. Usability is a SDI problem. It's important not only to online community. It's important to your project, your any system, right? Usability is important for all computer systems, and accessibility is special for online community because it regulates the people's behavior online. So before you design a online community, you set up a policy for who can join, right? Who cannot join. And if you want to join, what kind of information you want to collect, say, what specific community, such as healthcare support, right? You want to know what kind of disease the person had experienced or recovered, how old, gender, computer skills, and how long have you experiencing this disease, right? So you want to know something about the members, and you create a profile, right? And for some small communities, those members are famous, like a course community. We know who the person is, right? We meet in class, we know they are who they are. And we have a set of code of conduct saying what information are supposed to be posted, what kind of information cannot be posted, what is if you can, a body of eight members can be released, you cannot, right? You have a policy, privacy classified, each is a controversial issue here, right? So that everybody can opinion, share their opinion, but it's sometimes it's a bit complicated with the code of conduct, right? I can say anything I want, but there's some constraints, something you cannot say, right? If you say that, then probably you will be wrong, or your postings will be deleted. So if, even if, even further, your IP address can be detected and blocked, right? Because something that's not conform to the code of conduct. And for some communities, they have moderators, right? They do something to solve the dispute among the members. So, the usability side, they actually have two components that interact with each other, right? Say, I want to see each person have a membership before they join the community, then I have to design registration form for them, right? And I will collect information about the members. Then if you are posting messages, I have to design the message format, right? It's whether it's in a thread or in a random order, or in chronological order, or in relevant order. Or if I want to, for the archive and the searching, then you need to have tools for the created archive or bring, create the tool for searching. So usability design supports these suitability requirements. And all of these two components need to be viewed by assessing community needs. The community itself has a need, has a goal, and the people inside the community have individual needs and goals. So it's, before designing the community, you have to survey users' needs. Who wants to join? Who are the people? What do they want? Then design a set of policies. And for that, I set up suitability issues. I designed the usability issues. And all of these, you can support an evolving community. So there are four issues here. So suitability, we have just talked about that. Community size is the issue here. If you have a small community, well, you need a moderator, coordinator, probably no. If you have a large community, then you have various kinds of people, then sometimes they fight against each other. You probably need a moderator, then you have a clear set of policies. If it's really small, then probably there's not many workers. Right. So there are some issues related to people we care about. So policies, regarding policy, we need to think about the requirements for joining the community. Say you have to be a patient of certain kind of disease, or you have to be a doctor or a medical practitioner to join in, who have knowledge of that disease to join in this community. Right? And style of communication among participants, right? If they are patients, then you expect that the language needs to be caretaking, or if it's off the anxiety, so it's ready to go out there. And set up an etiquette. And if people don't conform to the policy, you have a way to deal with them. Right? You say you send a warrant, or you're not to incident, or you probably that problematic person will be dismissed about the community. So you don't want a federal person to really destroy a community. You send a lot of spam people who take you out. Usability. We care about the software that for user has. User have a lot of assets to do in online community. And when designing software, we have to specifically look at the user, what kind of user, what's their characteristics, and their task, right? What do they want to do? This is it. So users, here are some tasks online, users tasks. They send information, such as read other people's message, and they brought a support, say, okay, I send an icon, say, I'm smiling, or thank you, or enable people to chat, because people want to socialize online, and discuss ideas. For discussing ideas, chat is not quite appropriate, right? It would be pretty useful. Read carefully and think about it before they can be too high. So if they have a problem, then I'll find out a medical practitioner to have a chat. Not quite synchronous communication, not quite appropriate, right? Because probably the doctor needs to do some research before he can reply. So you need to think about what kind of CMC tool is appropriate for a certain task. Yes, I keep hitting the wrong button. Then users, you are here for the users, you need to care about the user characteristics. They are physical difference, whether this table is displayed and this table is okay for people with disabilities. People have a cognitive difference, right? Some people have difficulty using very deep menus, especially for this kid, right? Gender, age, some people cannot hear. That's just a little problem. Maybe elder people cannot read a small font. And in international community, cultural diversity is another issue. In certain culture, somebody tells a joke, and that joke could be not humorous in other cultural environments. If users experience the computers, their information literacy, and there are a whole lot of socioeconomic difference among the users, right? Whether the user is using high band internet connection, or it's a very low 10 years old computer, a whole lot of issues, right? So you care about the people inside the community. And you want to support them, so you need to understand the users. And software design is another issue. This is a very general issue, not only
useful for online community design. Consistent terms means they have a button, they open, then on another interface, it should also be open. You cannot use unfold, right? So consistent, right? Otherwise, you give people a problem. And the controllable, you give users control all the components on the screen, on your interface. Don't let the software kidnap you, right? Right. So you have to give users control and stop at a certain point. From the time if the user is tired or does not look at, they might be like the application. And critical behavior, users have a cognitive going out doing some this button, and he predicts something will happen, right? If something unpredictable stuff happens, then it's bad. Software needs to behave like a human brain, in a reasonable state. So this is a set of design principles made by Kolog. This one is different, right? If, say, I have a community, small community, then I have a well-designed set of principles or policies. Then later on, the community grows. So we have more people. And they contribute to their ideas to the community. They, well, their set of policies are not apply to me, to my case, right? Then they should have a right to modify the rules, right? And we should allow it. System for monitoring people's behavior. All we will monitor is the system, right? We could say you have a 200 people, they're posting controversial messages, and not just really is it, right? All the messages by itself. So you want the community's effort to monitor. Then if somebody is posting bad stuff, then you should report that to the community. And so that a sanction can be given. This is a different set of design strategies made by him. Design actually appropriate the theme. Create a meaningful, evolving member profile. That's interesting, right? If you want to have a coherent community and you want to know your people, your users, especially for those patient care community, you want to know who the people are. The people are trying to come, trying to do this, or just that. Taking such a treatment, and they just need to be valuable, right? And trustable. So you need to know something about the participants before you allow them to join. Design a range of roles, right? If you can assign some labels to some meaningful label to the different roles of people, that will probably useful for the participants to identify them, right? Say I'm a newcomer, I don't know much about the rules here, so
desire to move capital, defied, taken in wrong, denied to move.
You say, okay, this is the leader, this person has been here for 10 years, and I would really trust what he says, right? The person has been here for 10 years and has been experiencing multiple treatments, then probably that person's opinion is useful or flexible. So he designed some rules. Developed a strong leadership program for a community to thrive. You really need a leader. Just like the classroom, he wanted the classroom to be interesting. He really wanted some people to ask questions and answer questions, right? So he wanted to encourage the leader to emerge. This is okay. Promote events. Such as say, you initiate some events for these people to meet physically, right? That creates an environment of real community, right? Not a virtual community. And then you should skip today's community becomes larger, run larger, then you should allow people to organize subgroups. Yeah. You are designed to allow that. So people have self-interest, right? So design for groups and change. You start from a small community so that you don't have to invest a lot of time or money. And you don't have to design a very complicated policy. That right? You don't have to start from a small community, then when it goes larger, you can redesign the policy and redesign the software to accommodate. You say, I'm very ambitious. I want to design a very complicated software. It's hard to be modified later, then, well, probably it's a bad approach, right? Then, create and maintain feedback loop where you are at the planning and management position, and you monitor the community and manage it. But users have suggestions. And they have their needs, they work well, I have this need to accommodate whatever. Could you can do that? Right. So you consider their needs. And create a final way to allow them to complain or to contribute to the community, right? Like you don't like Google Docs. Okay, you don't provide a feedback venue for you to complain. That's that. You should complain. You try to create a venue for us to complain. But we are the users first. Empower your member over time. If the community is really successful, then the number of users would be rising. But the staff is probably stable, right? Then you should allow the users to contribute to the community and develop. And give them power and light. Let them design the policy for themselves and the model. So this is a case study of an online health community. This was a pretty old each user made on this. And more patients participating online communities to serve their own needs, interests, and get support from other patients. So the patients have valuable experience of the children have to lead. So who participated in online healthcare communities?
theory, they are better educated, right? They know how to use, how to join, they know how to meet the discussion, get the information, and validate the information. The past information is crucial to task, right? You cannot trust that any information is okay, or just take any suggestion to the field. And they are people with chronic conditions and limited access to personal care. People don't have health care, or maybe out of time, so limited. The advantage of online healthcare community is that they're available, always available. The semi-anonymous. You have to release some information about your health, but you don't have to identify yourself. The concern is about the quality of information you can get from online community. Some people write something about their personal experience, and each person has different conditions, right? And there are deductions in the scan. So for the DQ mailing list, the main purpose was for the participants to share DQ with information, and they have questions about how to get to the slides, how to share the information, update patients, and the doctors. So, people's roles actually evolve in the community, right? They are a newcomer, then I get more experience and I contribute to the community, and I got some experience. So I become expert of that disease. Then my role changes, right? I become an expert. So your system design is to identify a participant's activity level and their duration and their expertise in the community. So the major roles in this specific community are special, right? Yeah. Thinkers, medical practitioners, support providers, and they provide different kinds of information and suggestions, ideas, and experience. Certain factors that affect people's behavior in the community. Is the information credible? The credentials of the sender, is it identified and allow the users identify other people's credentials, whether what he said is trustable. Whether his case applies to my case, I should say. And the risk assessment. Whether if I take somebody's advice and change my treatment, it's pretty risky or not. It's a risky assessment. So for this specific community, different from other communities, right? We have to learn to cultivate the community among the patients, the practitioners, maybe the mothers and daddies of the patients. Probably if we can include the fusion content, the professional content, that would be much better, right? To support the community.
could. So, well, if under purpose, oh, we don't have time to cover this today. People are relying on, say, you work in the library and you have, in this, your community, you have a set of people from Estonia. And you want to support them, get a better life in your community. What's the technology or what approach you would use to create such a community? What set of policies you want to design, develop, and what kind of characteristics of the users you want to identify, and how we design a process for the community to thrive, to survive, to thrive, to develop. Right. So it's a different kind of librarianship, isn't it? Because the most important duty of librarianship is to satisfy users' needs, right? And sometimes you cannot satisfy users' needs using library resources. Or you have better for today supporting this group of people using online communities. Okay. And if you have more interest to know more about our communities, and you should take LBSD, that one is the key, Derek Hansen's course. So, any questions about that? It is a verse in the 7 or 8 of key course. No questions? Okay, write a piece of paper and
you're
I mean, I put Walter on the list.
Was you? Yes.
Yeah. But I put it on the list. We have to actually, the page that she, so she took the initial check, recommended to her.
Yeah.